The Takeaway is supported by the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org. You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
And take you back now for a moment to 1971 in the Oval Office with President Richard Nixon. Listen.
I just think the Times is a great enemy to hit on this, and I think they deserve it.
Don't worry, we're going to hit them as far as this administration is concerned. As long as we live, we are going to hit them.
You're listening to President Richard Nixon talking to Charles Colson, Watergate mastermind turned evangelical political leader. He died of a brain hemorrhage on Saturday at the age of 80. Now, Colson joined the Nixon administration as special counsel in 1969. His killer instincts quickly caught the president's eye, and he became the president's go-to man for various imaginative dirty tricks. And you may have heard the embryo of a dirty trick right there in that track from the Oval Office in 1971. But one of Nixon's dirtiest tricksters emerged from prison, appearing as a changed man after 7 months in prison. And though he may be remembered most for his role in Watergate, our next guest believes that Colson's true legacy might be his role in forging alliances between evangelical Protestants and Catholics to create the religious wing of the Republican Party that we know so well today. Tim Weiner is a former reporter for The New York Times and author of Enemies, A History of the FBI. Tim, hello.
Good morning.
I love this quote from Richard Nixon himself in your New York Times obit. Let me quote from it. His, quote, instinct for the political jugular and his ability to get things done made him a lightning rod for my own frustrations. Richard Nixon wrote that himself in his memoir.
Chuck Colson, against very strong competition, was the meanest son of a bitch in Richard Nixon's White House. And when Nixon wanted something really evil done, I mean, in terms of American politics, as opposed to, say, the secret bombing of Cambodia, he went to Colson, and Colson would get it done. And the way that Colson would get it done was hiring people like Howard Hunt, his college friend, 20-year CIA veteran, and one of the masterminds of one of the most stupid political tricks of all time, the Watergate break-in.
And Colson had such a taste for political dirty tricks. In fact, he would handle bugs and wiretaps and things that even J. Edgar Hoover wasn't willing to do.
No, he would hand those off to professionals, ex-FBI, ex-CIA guys like Hunt. But it is true that Hoover would not do this dirty work anymore. Hoover died 40 years ago. 6 weeks later, the Watergate break-in.
And so what do we know about the relationship between Colson and President Nixon? You said before in that quote that Colson wound up being a lightning rod for Nixon's own frustrations.
They were tight as ticks. Chuck Colson was Nixon's dark side. When Nixon wanted something done that was politically unconscionable, he would turn to Chuck Colson. Chuck would see that it was done. But there came a reckoning, didn't there?
Well, 7 months in prison was part of the reckoning, and I want to talk about Colson's transformation in prison and who he was afterward. Let's hear Chuck Colson in his own words talking about sort of his conversion to Christ.
To suddenly be told Charles Colson, the United States government, against Charles Colson was a shattering moment. I look back on it now, however, and I am grateful because that was part of God convicting me of my own past and my own sins and giving me a new life in Christ.
Chuck Colson, is it fair to say, Tim Weiner, that Chuck Colson was completely sincere in his religious transformation? Did he exude sincerity?
Chuck didn't lead two lives. He led three lives. After he served 7 months in prison, he worked for the better part of 20 years, ministering to thousands of prison inmates, founding the Justice Fellowship, which is a religious-based criminal justice reform group. But then by the end of the 1990s and the beginning of the George W. Bush administration in 2001, he got back in the game because he was the leading edge of what we think of as faith-based politics. He formed coalitions between Protestants and Catholics who, after all, have fought a doctrinal war or two over the centuries, And through this union of Protestant evangelicals, the Catholic Church, and the right wing of the Republican Party, they form the leading edge of what we think of as faith-based politics, which is as close to a union of church and state as you can get under the American Constitution. That is a major achievement.
Was he pleased with what religious politics, evangelical politics, has become in the Republican Party and what it became before his death, which is a massive force on the right?
He was a crucial intellectual author of the spiritual and emotional religious cast to American politics that we live with today. And he did so not simply as a form of personal redemption, but because he got a little bit of politics back in his blood, didn't he?
He did. Tim Weiner is a former reporter for the New York Times and author of Enemies, A History of the FBI. You can read his obituary of Charles Colson in the New York Times. Charles Colson dead over the weekend at the age of 80. Tim, thank you.
You bet.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.